I've never gotten a compliment. No one's telling me to do stand up. Like nobody wants me to do that. I'm just doing it, you know.
Welcome to another Latino with a podcast and the Latino with a podcast. My name is Christian Henningsmeyer. I forgot to say it in the previous episode, so maybe the whole episode you were like, who the fuck is this guy? I'm Christian Henningsmeyer, and today I'm with DJ Rixby. He's an amazing comic. He was the host of the late night show in the Comedy Bar. I still want to to be booked on that show, but he's amazing. He looks super cute in when he used a tuxedo, and he played baseball with Venezuelans. That's one of the first conversation we had. And he was like, I love arepas. So I make him an arepa, a reina pepiada. Now you can eat it like
that. I mean, look at that. Are you kidding me? This is...
I make a reina pepiada. Reina pepiada? Yeah, you can take a bite of it.
Maybe we can do some ASMR?
We did ASMR with Kaylee Hurd in the last episode. Yeah, that's the...
Oh, my God.
You're welcome. I am a nice cook.
White guy can't make that. No way.
I am a nice cook also, so... Perfect for the reina pepiada. You know, reina pepiada, I believe, is like the favorite arepa of the gringos who try Venezuelan food.
Yeah.
But maybe reina pepiada is the best because you have avocado, and white people are like, oh, avocado, okay. But that's... Venezuelans barely eat reina pepiada. We don't... Like, that's not usual for us. It's like too much work for an arepa. We're like ham and cheese, and that's it. Maybe eggs, but like that's like a weird exotic arepa for us.
Really?
Yeah. It's not. The people are like, yeah, the reina pepiada. I know your traditional arepas. Like, that's our traditional arepa. It's like saying a sandwich. Like, you're like the BLT.
Yeah.
You're not going to do a BLT every fucking time.
But you guys don't do peanut butter and jellies, do you?
No.
See, that's crazy to me. That's such a great sandwich. You get the peanut butter, you get the jelly, put on some bread, smash it together. That's like a white arepa. That's an American arepa.
I can do a peanut. I have another arepa. Like, I didn't know if he ate before the show, so I make a small arepa. But I can make you a peanut butter and jelly, and people can hate you on the comments. Like, all my Venezuelan friends can... Your Instagram will be there, so all my Venezuelan friends can hit you and be like, what the fuck are you doing with the arepa? In Argentina, they're introduced the arepas to Argentinians, and they start to put dulce de leche on top of it. And Venezuelans are like, that's not how it is. Venezuelans are like, no, give me back the arepa. No, you don't deserve it.
Man.
What is your arepa? Like, if you have, like, one arepa, DJ Rixby is like, this is going to be my arepa.
I would say this one right now. This is really good.
No, but this is ours. This is ours, and we're sharing it.
If I had to make one?
Yeah, like, your ingredients, yeah, you're like, I'm going to do this.
Honestly, I feel like if you made an arepa out of, like what they use in, like, Italian beef in Chicago, I feel like that'd be pretty good.
I feel
an Italian beef arepa with a little jardinera, you know?
With the melted cheese. Like, one albondiga, like there, like with the melted cheese. How's the name? Meatball. One meatball.
I think that'd be really good. That's a good arepa, in my opinion.
I'm going to, at some point, I want this podcast to have, like, not sketches, but, like, extra content for like, when I have, like, Patreon and shit. If you're in the podcast again, I'll put you to make a Italian beef arepa and see what happened.
Where would you rank Venezuelans in, like, the hierarchy of Latinx people? I said Latinx. Don't get mad at me. That's what I'm supposed to say.
You can say Latinas, Latinos.
I know. Yeah. I know.
We don't say that.
I know. But where would you put them? You say Venezuelans number one, maybe?
Bottom one, food?
No, just, like, the best in general.
No, we're way done. Like, we're really good in a lot of, like, categories, but, like, soccer, we're way below. Like, we're getting a lot better now, but way below. In baseball.
He's very good at baseball.
Very good at baseball.
Yo soy pelotero. I think that's what it's called.
But what is that?
It's like ball player, I think.
Yeah, pelotero.
Pelotero.
Do you do, like, the spanking the ass of Venezuelans?
Oh, I do. Not even Venezuelans.
Everybody.
Teammates, children, whoever. Anybody, I don't know.
I spank. I'll edit to I spank children, and then Rixby, like, cancel. Your hooker reel goes to the ground because I just edit, like, yeah, I like to spank. Then
children.
It's
Yeah, it's Nate Mookie and then children.
That is like my favorite part about baseball is you could just get a good slap on the butt at any moment.
Yeah, you're like, I don't like the game, but slapping asses is like
it's incredible.
Tell me the words that Venezuelan teach you, because I think I know some.
Coño, gringo, obviously. It's pretty much, it was all coño. Everything's like, coño, coño.
They didn't teach you mama huevo? Coño.
Maybe. Mostly it's just coño, though.
But mama huevo, coño is like Latin.
Yeah.
We use it a lot.
Okay.
But mama huevo is like ours.
Yeah.
Saying to someone like mama huevo, you know, like, there's a Venezuelan around okay. this person.
What about anything you pick up in Chicago? Any slang you like here?
Like, I just said the N word. No. And shit. Saying like a phrase and ending it like, oh, you know, this stuff and shit.
Yeah.
That and shit, I realize is Chicago.
Yeah. Really?
Like, people don't, like, they don't say and shit in other places. Actually, they are like, yeah, when they mock the Chicago accent, they do like, yeah, and I went to this place and, you know, and shit. That really? And shit is from Chicago.
Interesting.
That's and I pick up that here.
What about jagoff? That's a good one. That's like a pretty Chicago word. Jagoff. Like, oh, someone cuts up. Oh, you fucking jagoff. You know, that's a good word. Jagoff's a good word too.
That's a Larry David word.
Maybe you're right. Yeah.
That's a courier enthusiasm. Like, it's like the courier enthusiasm word.
Yeah,
but Larry David will say that. Like, oh, you're such a jagoff. But yeah, like that arepa is exotic. So
okay.
I feel like I have more. So after a podcast, you can eat more because I taste it and it's a really nice, like the chicken with the avocado, it came out really nice.
Oh, it's delicious.
So I have some subjects I want to talk about.
Okay.
So one was that, like, what words like Venezuelan teach you during baseball? What was the best of having like work in the field with Venezuelans?
I could even take it a step further if you want to go like back in time. The guy that trained me the most in baseball, he's Dominican. He's from Santo Domingo.
Okay.
Played on the Pan Am team, all this, but it was this old Dominican guy. I know it's not Venezuelan, but you guys are all the same to me. And
yeah, we say the same about Asians.
Of course you do. But so he trained me like my whole life, but it was like a very like on the island like style of baseball, like throwing bottle caps at me, throwing kernels of corn. I got to hit it with a broomstick.
Yeah, that's,
you know, and he was nuts. His name's Pops. They called him Chobi. He's still alive. I don't know if I'm saying that, but I mean he was crazy. He would always tell me like, this is a real thing. I was 12 years old. He goes, DJ, if you have sex with a black woman, you'll hit the curveball better.
Okay.
That's what they say in the Dominican
Republic. And you're like, okay, I'll do it. Just for the baby.
I was 12. I don't know. I was like, is that...
I like this coach.
I start talking to all these black women. They're like, oh, you have a fetish? I'm like, no, I'm just really struggling at the plate right now.
I just want to do the curveball.
Trying to help the team. But
you keep doing it for the team?
Oh, you had to. No, I'm kidding. No, but yeah, that was crazy. But then I played in Ireland. All my teammates were Venezuelan. Most of them were. So they ended up calling the team. The team was called the Dublin City Hurricanes. They called them La Familia. It was like the team's nickname within themselves.
They welcomed you to La Familia.
Oh, yeah. They were the best, man. Those guys were awesome.
They made you arepas?
They did make arepas. They made some other food, too. They'd always bring food. I didn't know what any of
them was. Which one were better?
Oh, these
they are arepas
these
or these?
These are way better. But they were getting their ingredients.
It's not the podcast ends. Like,
yes.
Here.
Yes, but they were getting their ingredients in Ireland. So you have to understand.
I'm getting my ingredients in Chicago, so...
True, but Ireland,
because that's not that. Actually, here they sell the reina pepiada with smoked gouda cheese, and they're like, "Yeah, so Venezuelan, we don't have smoked gouda in Venezuela." Yeah. Like, I mean, we have it, but no one will use it for an arepa.
Yeah,
it's like putting, I don't know, like brie cheese on a pizza. It's like we're in a New York style pizza. It's like no.
So how long have you been in Chicago?
4 years.
4 years. Have any? This is a crazy question. Have any of your friends? Do you know anybody that's come to Chicago since?
No. you're trying to know if I know the new Venezuelans.
That's a good question. That's not a crazy question.
It is a good question, but no. This bit, like, actually, there's... I do not like the Venezuelans that are coming, most of them, because I know the kind of Venezuelans they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like staying in the name of Venezuelans. Actually, like I had that one joke that I say, like the joke was like, oh, it's annoying to say that I'm from Venezuela because I say I'm from Venezuela and people are like, oh, Minnesota. I'm like, what? No, no, Venezuela. Oh, Minnesota. It's like, I don't know how those two words sound so similar for American people. But now, since the migrant crisis, I say I'm from Venezuela and they know.
They get it.
They get it. And they get it and not in a good way. I'm Venezuelan, they're like, oh.
That's crazy.
And they ask, like, so how long have you been here? I'm like, 4 years. Oh, okay. No, you're good. You're fine. That happened with a Uber driver 2-3 days ago. I was talking in English, and but he was like, yeah, I'm from Cuba. And then we started speaking Spanish. And he was like, oh, from how long have you been here? I'm like, 4 years. Oh, no. Okay, you're fine. You're not from the old ones. I'm like, dude.
Well, it's great. So my mom, she works for the city of Chicago. She works in a big backhoe. She does construction, digs up water pipes. But because she works on like the south and the west side of the city, she knows a lot of these Venezuelan kids because they're always out, and she like gets to know them a little bit. So for Christmas, some of them came over to my mom's place. They were like young 16, 17-year-olds. They were nice. They spoke no English. But they were showing me like some of the videos and stuff of just like the way that they traveled in, like La Bestia, like the train they took.
Oh, yeah.
And then the one, I forgot what it's called, the Darien Strait, the Darien Gap. Oh, my gosh, man. I mean, the stuff these people did, they come here. I'm like, it's not that great here, you know? And then the Indian people are doing that. Now the Chinese people are doing it. They're coming in through the border. It's pretty cool, you know? It's going to be a big melting pot.
Yeah, no.
They're all going to do stand-up comedy. The open mic lists are going to be 24,000 people long.
No, like that. I don't know any other comics, like Venezuelan comics, that are doing it like in Chicago in English.
My manager represents every Venezuelan comic, I think. None of, they're not in Chicago, but
exactly, they're not in Chicago. Yeah. I believe I'm not sure of this, but I believe I'm the only one, only Venezuelan doing it, at least in English. In because I believe they have to be some like doing ha ha ha.
They're doing it in Spanish.
In Pilsen, yeah.
Yeah,
but in English, I believe I'm kind of the only one. So I need Chicago, a Venezuelan Heritage Month. So I'm going to get booked so much. I'm the only Venezuelan. I'm going to do a Venezuelan Heritage Month. But
it'll be a one-man show.
So I wanted to talk about this because I saw it recently. Let me see at what time frame we are. So okay, we're good. I recently saw this, like, you know, girl math?
Yeah, girl math.
What do you think about girl math?
However they want to do things, they could do things.
Because I'm going to Texas in June, and I already pay for the tickets, and I already pay for, like, everything. And I feel when June comes, I'll be like, I'm traveling for free.
Yeah, that's a good way. I think that is healthy to be. But then, like, it kind of hurts you when, like, you get paid for a comedy show in advance, and then you have to go do the show a week later, and you're like, well, now I'm doing this for free.
That's what happened to you, that you're like,
I've done it one time. Only one time is the show ever paid.
Yeah, they don't usually pay you in advance.
No.
But that happened to me, and that happened with Venmo. If I have to pay something in Venmo, it's like, that was free.
It's not even real money.
Yeah, that was free. And then there's the rich math that, like, I recently knew about this. Like, rich people, like, places you cannot park because they will put you a ticket. For them, it's like not a ticket. For them, it's like, no, it's this parking costs $50, $150.
It literally costs nothing for them. That's pretty interesting.
Do you think you will change to that if you get a lot of money? Like, I don't know, where you're like billionaire, and you think you'll be like, I'll park whatever the fuck I want.
I'm going to be honest. I don't want to say I'm cheap, but I hate losing money for dumb reasons.
Okay, makes
sense. Like sometimes I'll go to the grocery store with my girlfriend, and I go on Google, I'm like, oh, there's a coupon for like 5% off.
Okay.
You know, like, even if I just see it on, like, you know, the store, whatever. Instead of like ripping out of the newspaper, I'm like, well, I'm just going to pay for it. I'm like, well, if we just rip it out of this newspaper, you get 5%. And she's like, yeah, but that's, you don't have to do that. It's like $4. But I'm like, it's $4.
You're the coupon guy.
I'm not a coupon guy. I don't collect coupons. But if the lady's like, oh, if you like tear this out and punch this code in, I'll do it to save $2.
I hate that, except on Domino's Pizza, when like after 6 pizzas you got a free one, but they give you like a time limit.
Mm-hmm.
I end up fucking eating pizza because it was free. Yeah. Because you pay like at least $7 for the delivery and shit.
Delivery, yeah.
But it was free pizza. But it's like you have like 1 week to take it.
Yeah.
And like, I guess I'll eat pizza. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want it, but I will. You know, it's like I'm saving money. It's like, so how stupid, so how sales like work. Like,
I think a better example of the one that I'm thinking of, because the grocery store thing I made up, that doesn't happen. But like, okay, if you go to Jiffy Lube, and anytime you Google Jiffy Lube coupon,
never gone to Jiffy Lube.
Wait, you just go for an oil change. On their website, every single time you go there, there's $10 off. Every single time. And I know people that are like, I've been to Jiffy Lube, and I've seen people just like not care. They're like you tell them, oh, yeah, you get $10 off. They're like, I don't really want to look it up. Like, you won't Google something to save $10, you know?
I mean, it's good to save $10. Like, how's the but if you become billionaire, you think you will keep doing that? Or you're like, no, I don't need this $10.
I don't know, man. I mean, if I'm a billionaire, something is truly wrong in this world, because there is nothing I do that is going to ever be worth $1 billion. There's no way I'm ever going to help enough people for $1 billion to be a real amount of money that I deserve to have.
I believe I can change that train of thought you have, because have never happened to you that someone after a comedy show, they were like, dude, thank you. Like, I had a rough day. Thank you. You made me laugh.
No, I get that, but I don't.
No, that's important.
Like, I know that's important, but I don't think any comedian should be a billionaire. I don't.
Millionaire.
Yeah, of course. Like, if you're selling enough tickets and people want to come see you that much, but like, I don't know. It's crazy.
Okay, let's do a billionaire. Like, but dude, I believe that's a nice feeling when after a show, someone's like, hey, you made me laugh so much.
Yeah, of course.
And have they ever happened to you that someone's like, dude, that show sucked?
I've never gotten a compliment. No one's telling me to do stand-up. Like, nobody wants me to do that. I'm just doing it, you know?
I want you to do stand-up. Yeah. Like,
no, people
you're
say
a really nice
things.
Comic. Dude, you deserve things. Love, and you deserve to be loved,
oh,
and you deserve
you.
To be, and sure. You deserve arepas.
Yeah, dude, that was really nice.
I'm going to do a pause so he can eat
okay.
A little All bit
right.
more of the arepa, and we can do. We're back. He just... have another bite of the arepa. But once I was in a show, because it's amazing when it happened that someone's like, dude, thank you so much, you made me laugh.
Yeah.
You changed my day. I have a fucked up day. Amazing feeling. But I believe comics are susceptible, but I don't know how to speak English again. Okay. We really take in consideration what people say. Like, like, I have Zoe Dodson, and she's like, this guy told me this. And he was like, I think you will never remember me. And like she said in the podcast, because we remember. If someone comes to a comment, it's like, you changed my day. Like, in 12 years, we're going to be like, dude, I just keep doing comedy because that guy in that moment. But I have one that is like the reverse. That one guy told me, you were amazing, but your personality is as good as a potato.
Someone said that?
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know how to take this. Like, wow. I keep thinking, and this was in Venezuela. This was like 6 years ago, and I keep thinking about it. Like, what? Like, I don't know, because I'm on stage. I'm not the super you know, the funny guy. I'm just like, I have the same energy of maybe Luis Arevalo, Aaron Klein. I'm like more like
more
quiet.
Low. Yeah.
But that got to me. So I believe from there, I tried to lose myself, and I feel like super comfortable now on stage. But it was a point that was like, I don't know how to improve this.
Also, what a terrible thing to say to somebody. I mean, that guy needs to work on himself. That's a crazy thing to say to somebody. Hey, you were fine, but I don't like your personality.
What is the worst that someone in a show has said to you? Or a heckler? You should have like heckler stories.
I have some heckler stories. I don't. They're usually not bad. I usually handle them pretty well. Somebody. This is always the worst when you're standing next to another comic after a show.
Okay.
And then someone makes eye contact with both of you, and then walks up to the person you're next and was like, "Good set tonight." And then they just look at you and then just leave.
It's cool because we talk about this in the last episode. Exactly.
That's the worst.
It's the worst feeling.
I don't like when people try and pitch jokes to me, especially when they're like about
I like to pitch my jokes. I like the feedback. I don't know what comics like. They keep like gatekeep, like doing like maybe this. Okay, but let's.
I just mean audience members. I'll talk jokes with comics, but like sometimes people after a show, it's like one time this lady's like, you should do a joke about how you're short and thick. I was like, I didn't think I was thick.
Or short.
Well, I knew I was short, but the thick part really fucked me up. You know?
You should do a joke about how you are an asshole. I'm like, okay, thank you, lady.
I've had people that are like, oh, you should, I had a guy, this was the crazy one. I had a guy come up to me, he's like, you should do a joke about how Native Americans in Alaska, how they can't drive. And I was like, what? He goes, yeah, and they have bad teeth. You should do a joke about how they can't drive and they have bad teeth. And I was just like, I don't think people know that the Native Americans have bad teeth. And I remember, it was at the show in Rolling Meadows. It was this horrible bar show. This guy was just like drunk. His wife was in the bathroom. He's like 60. And you could tell he had some sort of like social anxiety. And he just came up to me. He's like, hey, good show. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. And then I felt like he wanted to say something, but he didn't know what to say. And he just said, yeah, you should talk about how Native Americans have, how they can't drive and they have bad teeth.
And you're like, I'll do that. Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. Next joke.
I did ask him. The funny thing, I asked my girlfriend was with me at the joke. She was like, what was that? But I did ask him. I was like, what would that joke look like? And he was just like, I don't know.
I believe it's Tom Segura. He made a joke about one person that he was like a really nice designer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hey, I could make you some designs for merch. If I'll cut my cost if you make a joke about my cat.
Mm-hmm.
And he made the designs, and Tom Segura didn't make the joke right away, because like, you know, comics, we have to try this in open mics. Or in other, well, Tom Segura maybe open mic, but we have to try this in other spaces to then put it on a show. But this guy saw the first like Netflix special after he made the design. He's like, you didn't put the cat joke. And he sent an email to Tom Segura charging the amount he took out. And then I believe it was in a podcast, Tom Segura said the story. And it's like, this is your, about the guy, like roasting the guy and roasting the fucking cat. And it's like, here's your fucking joke.
And he's going to put it in his Netflix special, you
thought? I don't know. It was like a podcast. Like, but he just, yeah. like one guy just, like, make a joke about my cat. And he's like, I don't know anything about your cat.
Sometimes people will tell you that before a show. They're like, we're here for a birthday party. You should roast us. And I'm like, I don't want to talk to you at all. I just want to do my little jokes and go home.
My roommate, he's always like, he has like, you spend time with Venezuelans. You know, we don't have like this.
You guys don't shower.
We do shower.
I'm just kidding.
We do shower. We do shower. I didn't do it today, but we do it No, you should know, like, we don't care about this, like, black people, gay people. We don't make those like differences. Mm-hmm. We're like all the same, and we bully everybody.
Yeah.
Equally, we don't care if you're short, if you're tall, if you're fat. Like, we bully everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they bully me because before I was super skinny. And they bully me because I was super skinny. Every time, like, we have, like, nice wind, they're like, hold Christian to something, because he's like, and we bully everybody. So my roommate is Venezuelan. We still have, like, that, like, in our core of like, comedy, let's say. But I know better because I've been here. But he always have, like, an idea, like, a racist, super racist idea. And he's like, you should do that on stage. And I'm like, dude, I won't say that on stage.
So let me ask you this. So you lived in Venezuela for how long? How many years?
Venezuela, 27 years.
27 years. Okay. And Venezuela, you would say, is probably what, 99% Venezuelans?
Yeah.
What is it like living around? I've lived in Chicago my whole life. It's just very diverse. What's it like spending 27 years around like a very like homogenous like race of people, like just one group, you know?
It's just like their diversity in the group, but we're all Venezuelan. It doesn't feel like that. They say here you're fighting segregation. I do believe United States is the more segregated place I've ever been.
Oh yeah.
Because it's like you try to make so much difference, like, oh, we need to include the black people into the community. But you market so much, like, we need to include them. It sounds like they're different. Like, in Venezuela, we don't think about we need to include this other group.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, just come here. Like, it's like they're already in the group. They're part of the group.
Yeah.
It's not like they're different and we need to include them.
Well, I think the problem was when America started, it was built on slavery, which I don't know much about
Venezuela too. In Venezuela, there was a lot of slavery.
Who were they enslaving, you know?
The black people.
Really?
And there's a book about one guy that was a white guy, that he was a slave, and he liderated a revolution against white people. And they basically, it's called El Urogallo. It's like, I don't remember his name right now, but his like nickname was El Urogallo. And he was like the most like radical person, and they declare war against white people. They go into the churches just to cut the head of people.
Wow.
And that happened in Venezuela. And in Venezuela now, we're like in every group there's a black person, and we call it like the black dude of the group. It's like there's not a different like, oh, we need to include someone from another. I feel like making points like that is what makes you see, like, if you see a group of friends and they like, oh, this is our black person, this is our Chinese person, this is our gay person, then you see the differences. If you're like, oh, this is our group and that's it, like, people won't be like, oh, wait a minute, where's the ethnicities of these people? So I don't know, like, I believe trying to include so much makes the difference more clear to people. It's like weird to say, but it's like that in Venezuela where we don't think like, oh, we need to include these different people because we're all already like a unity.
Yeah.
We're all Venezuelans. I believe that's like the layer on top. We're all Venezuelans. And then you can have like small differences, but it's like we're still all Venezuelans. We're the same.
Yeah, I think the interesting, like, even when I was like living in Europe, people would be like if I was in Ireland and I met someone that was, I don't know, Middle Eastern, and they were born in their second generation, and they'd be like, oh yeah, I'm Irish.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty interesting. But like here, we're like if you ask me, I'd be like, I'm Irish, Polish, and Korean. You'd be like, what? Like if I'm missing overseas.
Choose one.
Yeah, but you'd be like, oh, so are you're American then? And I'd be like, yeah. So they would just know just based on how you answer that, which is pretty
interesting. Yeah, but you put your ancestry before. Like, people are doing the ancestry shit.
Yeah.
The 3%, 21%, I don't know if you remember the name. Yeah. But that, because they want to know what they are, apart from American.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, in Venezuela, I believe no one is doing, like, oh, ancestry, let's see, like, what type now. It's like it's weird. Like, I believe the difference are more marked when you point it out, like, oh, we need to, like the movies now, Netflix. Like, for me, I believe if someone pitch an idea, I believe you have a group of friends. In your group of friends, is there a Latino, a black person, a lesbian, or gay? Is like in your group of like friends, are is all of that there? Probably not.
It just depends on the group, you know. Like if I got a group with comedy and we got a little bit of everything. I got like a baseball group. We got a little bit.
Let's
of
say the baseball group.
I got my golf group. Those are all white guys. You know?
Exactly, but
I don't golf. This kid,
in the mind of Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
That group of white guys. Impossible. That cannot happen. It's impossible with the now society that group can exist. I feel like it is like that. It's like that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, who cares? Race is race, and whatever happens, happens. Yeah, let's here for the ride.
Let's all be together. And now we stand up and we do like High School Music and stuff. We're all in there.
Well, it's just like
together.
It's like one of those things you can't even be mad about. Cause you're like, it's not gonna change, and like. Whatever, man. If like a Jewish guy and a black guy are in a commercial together, good for us. You know,
exactly.
I don't know. It's
like I hate when they're like in movies they include the LGBTQ person. It doesn't matter if they're gay, lesbian, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the only they like put or they like apport to the movie is that they are gay. You know, it's like the character is there because he's gay. It's not like they have something in the story. It's like. We needed like a superhero. Like I can see Batman, Superman.
Yeah,
he fights crime. He puts everyone in jail. And when he goes home, he has a husband. I'll be like, oh, cool for him.
Yeah.
But it's like, no. If Superman is gay, he shoots like rainbow. Could
like, you imagine like a gay Dark Knight? He just, I'm gonna.
No, he has the same voice.
I am the Batman.
It's the same voice, but then he goes home and he's like, Alfred. Let's kiss.
I don't know.
But Batman can be gay. That would be. Imagine that Batman, he does everything and then he comes back and maybe he has a lovely relationship with Alfred. That would be dope.
And you know what? People would lose their minds for no reason. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Like, I believe it would be dope. But if Batman is gay and suddenly the problem of Gotham is not crime, but like homophobes. That's where I'm like, dude, there's still crime. Like, I get it, but people are not committing crime because they hate gay people.
Yeah.
Like, if you change the whole subject, then it's like, no, he's fighting crime. He's not fighting homophobe. God damn it. Batman. Okay. But I just get super upset about Batman being gay. I believe they should make it. They should make it just to see, like, because people lost it with the Black Mermaid.
Yeah.
If they make, like, black gay Batman, people will fucking lose it.
For no reason. It's like
for no reason. Yeah, let's do it.
I don't know.
Like, would you half a black gay Batman?
I would have a black gay Batman. I would have a Muslim bipolar Batman, you know?
Why bipolar?
Because I don't know. None of it matters. None of this is real, you know? God forbid. Like, make the Little Mermaid green. I don't give a fuck, you know?
Yeah, I believe my
people that get mad at that stuff, like, really get mad. It's like, yeah, man, there's so much more important things to be mad about, you know?
I didn't have a problem with it, but I was like, just to avoid the whole, like, confrontation and problem, you can make another mermaid. It didn't have to be Ariel.
Maybe. Yeah, I get it. Whatever, you know?
But at the end, it's like, it's a mermaid, dude. Like, just chill.
Who are some characters in movies that you'd want to change the race? I think, like, the movie Sandlot, I would like to cast all Asian. You ever seen the movie Sandlot?
No.
It's a baseball movie. But there's a... I would like to... Now, well, you won't get the joke, but it's kind of funny. I would like to have a Sandlot movie where the whole cast is Asian.
That would be amazing.
Because one of the main characters' name is Squints, which I think is so good, right? Okay.
Squints is like... Okay, what other movie you would change the whole cast?
I think the Lego Man, Lego movie. We can make like a, I don't know, something to be yellow all the time.
Okay, Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, we could do like an Indian Brokeback Mountain.
But instead of cows, they're like,
they
work in a call center.
Just 2 Sikhs, you know?
Yeah, me being racist, like, yeah, instead of like cowboys, they're call center people. And then
come on! And they...
Just me being like,
no. So I would never disrespect my Indian brothers and sisters. I love you guys. If you're an Indian watching this, I love you.
No, but they should do like Brokeback Mountain with like a lesbian Brokeback Mountain. I believe it would be a nice movie.
A lot of people would watch that movie.
A lot of people would watch that movie. And the movie is in Pornhub, so for some reason. Okay, what other like movie with like Shawshank Redemption?
Well, I guess that's just a prison movie, so it wouldn't matter. Maybe that would be an issue if more people were of...
yeah, then it would be an issue if more people are black in that movie.
Like, I think Avatar The Last Airbender, I think we can get like maybe like an Italian airbender.
Okay, I like. He does the arepas.
Yeah.
He boils the water at the perfect...
The pasta's ready.
He just make all the dough for the pasta with his powers. Yeah, I would like the Italian Avatar.
You ever see Static Shock?
No.
Which one is that? You ever seen Static Shock? It's like maybe it's more of a cartoon, but it was this black superhero. It was on the CW. It was a great show. And this guy, he like controlled electricity.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. You ever seen that?
No.
No. Well, if you've seen Static Shock, he controls electricity. Like an Amish guy gets the superpower to control electricity. That'd be like a pretty internal battle.
Yeah, it's like, should I use my powers? If I use my powers,
God will punish me.
I would love Avatar because he have to bend stuff like like the water.
Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna do a little pause here and then we're every pause less arepas. That's why we're doing the pause. And we're back. How you can do an Italian accent?
No.
Okay, try, and I'll do the.
You fucking talking to me, kid? You come into my storefront and you threaten me.
It's like an Irish Italian, like,
yeah.
He's an Italian, but he's been living in Irish for so long that he kind of get the Irish accent. Okay, I want to talk a bit about AI because I saw something and I was like, this is getting out of hand. You saw the movie Her?
Mm-hmm.
I believe we're so close to that. Like, I thought that was going to be like more post-apocalyptic, like, you know, like a little bit like further, like 2030. That is not that far away. But
let me ask you this, because I've been very curious about this. Do you think that like companies like Apple, Facebook, and Instagram... Right. Specifically, think about Facebook, right? Like, okay. A large part of their demographic of the users are pretty old, like 50 and up.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think that Facebook already has what it's going to look like in 5 years ready? And they're like, well, we can't bring this out now because for the user face, these older people won't know how to do it. Or do you think they're gradually like kind of putting it into production? Like, oh, now we got AI photos. Like, that's the new thing.
No. I do believe the AI is more a lot more scary than what they show us.
That's what I mean. Like, do you think the, yeah, I so you agree with me?
Yeah, no, there's a guy that he create like a baby AI, and it looks like a baby. And the way they code it is like, it's going to grow and it's going to like learn. And for now it's a baby, but I believe that the experiment is fucked up. Like, I believe it will be conscious at some point. I'll be like, why I'm trapped in this space. Yeah.
Now I studied computer science and IT in college. And this was a long time ago. I haven't used my degree in a while. But I do remember we took an ethics class and we were talking about artificial intelligence way before anything was public about artificial intelligence, like for, you know, users. And it does have to have a kill switch. Everybody has to remember that. Like, at least from what I understand, there has to be some kill switch when you're making these machines.
Yeah, because it's not Skynet.
That's what I mean. Have you seen the movie Eagle Eye?
What
I think it's
it?
Called Eagle Eye. It's with Shia LaBeouf, where like his brother's in the military. Whatever, you gotta watch it. But it's all about AI and
you
like
have like so many. You're giving me hunger. Like you gotta watch these, all these movies. But yeah, it's like Skynet. Keep going.
Yeah, but yeah, like it was. You gotta watch it. But never mind. But okay. It's pretty interesting to see how far it is. It's gotten in the last 2 years, and how quick it seems to be rolling out. Like, I even look at, like Bard, like Google's AI, well, Gemini, I guess it's called now, just how good it's gotten.
It's just scary.
In the last year. I use it all the time.
The Sora videos, like the Sora AI that makes videos.
Yeah.
There's, like, people who post, like, Scarlett Johansson, Dua Lipa, all these women in, like, bikinis, and obviously it's AI, but, lately I've been looking at the hands. And the hands look good. And for me, that was like, okay, they're learning how to make hands. That it's fucking scary. Like, when do you think we're going to get into the... Actually, apparently there's apps now that you have like a virtual girlfriend.
Yeah.
But it's like more like AI, still like, feels like AI. But I'm going to show you something and maybe you will be more scared. But what do you think hair is going to happen? And if you think it's going to happen?
Yeah, people are definitely going to be dating AI.
Would you date an AI?
No, I wouldn't. At least I don't think I would. But it's going to happen.
What if she's super charming?
Maybe, but I don't know. I liked like a woman that could feel pain, you know? That's a joke.
I believe they will be able to.
Yeah, like, maybe they'll be able to sense it and then give a proper reaction to it. But no, I don't know, man. Like, if people are going to... People date everything. People have sex with animals. People are crazy, man. Like, yeah, people are going to date AI. I truly do believe so. I think people are already doing it.
I believe people are already doing it. Like, and more if you're, like, a lonely person. And look, okay, this is what I'm... let me see if you heard it. Should be... Okay, let's... I will refresh it so it will go to the beginning of the video.
Hey, Bland. This is Mike. I'm just calling to show off your new emotional analysis capabilities. Can you tell me how my voice sounds right now?
Hey, Mike. It's great to talk to you, but from what I can pick up on with your vocal tone, you sound a little happy right now.
How do I sound now?
Whoa, okay. Well, you basically just cut me off and yelled at me, so it's pretty obvious that you're angry. With that being said, I know this is for testing purposes, but for what it's worth, I found that to be pretty rude.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yell at you. It was really just for testing purposes.
I know it's a test, so I totally forgive you. But is there anything else you want to test or talk about? Remember, I can do any type of phone call and have a conversation about anything. Oh, and by the way, you sounded apologetic there.
Thanks, Bland. No, I think I've had enough of acting emotionally volatile. You have a good day now. Bye.
Okay. Well, you have a great day then, Mike. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's terrifying, dude. I mean, like, just like how quick it's advanced and how quick it's gonna continue to advance.
And he and I feel I will be the same. He sounds like actually really sorry about hurting the emotions of the AI.
Yeah, it seems
when
so
she's
real.
Like that was pretty rude. I in my mind I was like, I need to hug this AI and be like, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, because I don't think, I mean, just hearing the voice, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't even tell you that was a robot from hearing it.
I really fold that hair. She sounds like a really nice. She sounds like a really nice AI.
It's just interesting to see what jobs are going to be gone that we didn't think were going to be gone. Like, you know, I was pushed by you know, my parents, and like rightfully so, they're like, go study computer science, always have a job, go study IT. So I did. I went to a really good school. I went to Illinois Institute of Technology.
And now I'm a comic.
And like, now I'm a
fuck
comic.
You, Dad.
But also, but when I got my degree, the understanding was that there's always going to be tech jobs. Like,
yes.
No, oh, tech jobs are never laying off, you know? And now it's like, it's pretty scary. Like, a lot of people are losing their jobs. And like, I mean, that's going to take over cold calling pretty soon here.
Yeah, no.
Like, people aren't going to be cold calling anymore for sales jobs, I think. IT, like when I was debugging, when I was a software engineer, I was debugging a lot of like database stuff, and that's going to be completely AI, you know, like these jobs are going to be gone, man.
Do you think that there could be, like, at some point, AI comics?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, who knows? I think we got some time. I think people are going to want to see stand up live. I think that's what makes stand up good.
But I believe like an AI will. AI show will also be like, let's see what.
Yeah, I guess maybe in
the comments, like, this was better than Laugh Factory. Like, fuck.
Like, I think it's gonna be, if you know it's AI, I think you're gonna have a hard time feeling a connection to it. You know,
I don't think
it's gonna be up there and be like, oh, my father, and you're gonna be like, well, it's just full of shit. It's gonna just all observational things.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
I don't know if they
gotta go there. Like, they have to go. Like, so last time this guy. Growing ChatGPT, like, hey, can you give me this? And I was like, dude, what the fuck? Like, I believe they can go that way.
Yeah, I guess. But anybody that likes stand-up comedy from an AI, I don't really want it in my shows anyway. That's kind of weird, man, you know?
So he's gatekeeping. People are going to see this in, like, 5 years and be like,
if you're a fan
DJ
of
Rizvi is a bigot.
If you are a fan of an AI comedian and you're like, man, I really love what Glorborg is putting out on Reels, then don't fucking follow me. Don't come to a show. Cause
do you think they're going to cancel you, like, if this is around in 10 years?
AI is going to cancel me?
No, like, people. Like, this in 10 years, people are watching this, and in that moment, AI, they are conscious, and people are, like, taking care. Like, don't be AI-phobic. And they see this reel or this episode, and they're like, DJ Rizvi must be canceled. Like, he's aiding AI-phobe.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe. That's definitely possible.
I'm so sorry to forget that you canceled this.
I don't know why you're going to bring it up. You know?
No, yeah.
Bring it up.
Like, people are like, remember that another Latino with a podcast 10 years ago? He was talking shit about AI. Like, I believe it's scary, but I believe her is coming. Like, the people dating AI.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there is a guy on My Strange Addictions that was dating his car. I mean, people are already dating things.
Car?
Know.
How?
Yeah.
There's people who marry in, like, video consoles.
The guy would, like, have sex with his car.
How do you have sex? I don't know, dude.
They don't show it, but it's one of those popular episodes.
How would you do it?
Me, honestly, probably get it had leather seats, maybe get some oil, put it in the cushions,
I was going for the exhaust, but I believe it's a little uncomfortable. It's like too low. And that will hurt.
That would hurt.
But I believe that leather seats it will be that, like, the best.
You know what I've been thinking? I've been thinking a lot about early 20th century Dadaism, you know, the art movement that sprung from World War One. I've been thinking about that a lot.
Okay, and what is it?
I've been thinking about its impact that it's had on, like, not even just surrealism, but our everyday life. I mean, this was started in World War I. They're from a result of World War I. It was these European artists, that, really in, like, one nightclub in Switzerland that was only open for 3-4 months. It sprung, and then it was in Berlin and France and, you know, maybe parts of Spain, and it was just really good. I just think about the glass blocks we have in buildings, like, that's from that. And then that's, like, the guy who, like, now who put, like, the banana on the wall with the tape. It also gave us that dog shit art. But
yeah, for me, that's, like, for taxes purposes.
Like, it definitely
that,
is.
That some millionaire was like, yeah, but just tape a banana. Someone say, well, that will worth, like, 100 million, and I will donate it. Because they do that, millionaires. Okay.
But isn't that a pretty interesting reaction to, like, World War I? Because they were like, well, nothing's going to change. Like, so why don't we just make art that has no purpose? It's kind of, like, interesting as a society or, like, a group of artists just like, yeah. Like, imagine if comedians just started doing, I guess that's what all comedy is. But, like, imagine if, like, a bunch of comedians, because they were like, well, like, say AI is doing really well with comedy. And you could still go see live comedy shows, but nobody's going. And it's like the comedians just going up there and not speaking English or any language at all. I guess that'd be kind of like it. It's like, well, I'm just going to go up there and go, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, and do whatever you have to see. And that's like the beginning of the Dadaism, the movement. But, they tried to do stuff without thinking about it, just like do stuff. And then it became Pollock. with the buckets of paint. Like it's like a movement of like, yeah, nothing matters anymore. Let's nothing do matters. Whatever.
But they're still making a point.
Art and comedy, they go together. Yeah.
Scissoring. Did they ever tell you that in Venezuela? Did they ever say don't run with scissors?
Yeah.
They would tell you guys that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why. Like I still do it.
You still run with scissors?
Yeah.
I always hold them blade down like in my hand like they taught me. I still do it.
Yeah, you have to like you hold the blades.
And I walk carefully.
No, once I stabbed myself with a fork.
Why?
It was not on purpose. I was walking like I was bringing plates to the kitchen, and the fork was like kind of like outside, and it was like a hallway, and I stumbled to the side, and the fork went to the wall and went to my stomach, and it just like penetrated a little bit, and I have to pull off the fork. I was like, I scissors were dangerous, but the fork. It was not good. I had like four dots here.
Yeah, dude, what? Don't do that. Stop doing that.
It wasn't on purpose. Like I was bringing plates and I just stumbled and it was like clack. I'm like, oh fuck! And then
I will say I've never accidentally stabbed myself. I can't say that
on purpose. On purpose, yes, but I accidentally.
On purpose, yes, all the time.
All the time. Like, look at this. You have like a lot of scars in your.
I'm thinking about that AI. She did have a pretty nice voice.
You said you will date her.
It's about the guy.
You will date the guy and the but I believe she will win every fight because yeah. She was like, by the way, that was pretty rude. I'm like, I'm so sorry, babe. And I'm just can we solve this? No. Will she be like a regular woman? No. I'm it's okay. It's fine. I'm like, no. I know you're angry. No. It's okay. It's fine. You know, I'll go to sleep. But no. Let's talk about it. Like, wait.
Do you, this is a different question, but do you know the podcast Escuela de Nada?
Yeah, they're super famous.
You know Nacho?
Yeah.
That's my boy.
Dude, Nacho is amazing.
We have the same manager, and I opened for him at the 312 Festival when he did Zany's. It was him, Angelo Colina. Angelo Colina, and then me, and I don't speak Spanish.
And you did it in Spanish?
It's a Spanish-speaking show.
But they know English.
Yeah, but I was trying to do it in Spanish.
Okay.
Well. So this is what I did. I came up and, you know, they're all like, oh. And I came up and I was like, hola. And they said, hola. I said, ¿cómo estás? And they said, fuck it. Anyway.
So how are you, people?
I was like, "Are you guys know English?" They're like, "Yeah, we know English." I was like, right, let's do this. Let's try it.
Let's end the episode with you trying one of your jokes. Try to say in Spanish to see what happens. If you have a short one-liner, do that in Spanish.
Okay. Let me see. Hold on. Anything?
You can say "mama huevo" in the middle. People will be like, "Okay, you can keep going."
Yes. Yo tengo la clase de matemáticas en la primera hora. ¿Por qué? Yo soy chino.
Mamá, güey. Yeah, that's like...
Coño.
You said like, I have the math class at the first hour because I'm Chinese.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty good. Pretty good.
Mamá, huevos. Okay, that was the podcast, so... Thank you so much again for coming. I hope to have you again. I have an idea. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but tell me what you think about this idea. I want to do another Latino with a show.
Uh-huh.
It's like another Latino with a podcast, but another Latino with a show. And it will be a monthly show with the four comics that were on the podcast.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I believe it will be a good idea.
I would love to do it. You guys got to buy tickets. You got
to
come out.
Yeah, so I'll try to make your episode 8. So if I make it, you will be on the second show.
Okay. The show's going to be July 8th at the Den Perfect. Theater. I think let's do that. We'll go 8 p.m. Does that work? 8 p.m., 10 p.m., and a midnight show if we sell those two out. So I don't remember the date I said, but get tickets right now at denthe.com/8. Latino with the podcast.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming for the show.
Brought to you by Blue Chew.
And bye.
Hasta luego.